Chapter 20. Bill Cosby's Bathroom. For many years now, I've been performing at this annual business event titled Get Motivated Seminars. As a part of the event, I've had the opportunity to share the stage with some of the biggest names in the world. I've opened up for George Bush Jr., Terry Bradshaw, Steve Forbes, many others. Just to be clear, it's not officially a Christian event, even though many of the people involved are believers, and there are subtle faith elements to it. It's been an awe-inspiring occasion every single time, even if my role is to simply entertain the crowd for 10 minutes during the lunch break. In addition to sharing the spotlight with some gigantic celebrities, I've also been able to walk onto an arena stage, look out at a crowd of 20,000 people many, many times. My role in these events has been pretty straightforward. I lead a dance party for 10 minutes while the attendees take a break from the speakers. This culminates with me giving away a vacation package. I've had one specific task. It kind of involves thinking or swimming in front of a crowd who basically has never heard of me. The experience really taught me what it meant to motivate an audience, especially when they don't care who you are, especially when there's no Christian element to fall back on. In addition, it's been a great way to let my light shine, so to speak, in an undercover way. My DJ and I would do nothing that references faith directly. We're just simply a positive, family-friendly presence. As a result, many doors have opened up for me to share my faith on a person-to-person level. Whether it's behind-the-scenes conversations with staff or just speaking to someone from the crowd, people go to these events looking for inspiration and direction. We're usually the lone Christian performers on this positive yet secular event. We're consistently in a position to share our lives in a unique way that we wouldn't normally be able to do at a church show or a Christian festival. Of all the famous people we've been able to cross our paths with, none is more famous than Bill Cosby, and this was before his recent troubles. Let me make that clear. For a period of time, he had consistently performed immediately after us at these seminars. Through the event's employees, we learned that something that few people in the public were aware of, he had actually kind of lost some of his eyesight. This made me feel pretty sad when I first heard about it, because after all, this is Cliff Huxtable we're talking about. At any rate, after performing on the event enough times, we began to notice there would always be this mysterious rug on stage. We always had to set it up and perform on top of this thing, and it really didn't make any sense. Do you understand? It had no business being there. So we began to ask the stage crew if they could move it, and their response was always like, straight up, no, under no circumstances can the rug be moved. You can jump on it, you can run on it, you can rap on it, but cannot be moved. For the life of us, we couldn't figure it out. We became a consistent, albeit somewhat annoying, joke for us. Then one day, we finally figured it out. It hit us like a ton of bricks. Cosby was always on after us at every show. How could we have missed it? Of course. The rug was there to keep Bill Cosby from falling off the stage because he can't see very well. It was a marker for him to feel. He knew that when he was speaking, if he hit the edge of the rug, he couldn't go any further. That's not the ultimate point of the story. It just demonstrates how severe his vision loss was. As you'll see, the fact played a key role in what I'm about to share. Something to keep in mind, though, the story I'm about to tell you took place before we figured out the situation with his eyesight. So because we always performed before him, we crossed paths with him quite a bit. As I said, he was waiting off stage preparing to speak, catching our act. So he was very familiar with me. On one occasion, I was catching a red-eye flight from Winter Jam cross-country to meet it to the Get Motivated seminar in Portland after I received a text from the seminar staff saying Bill Cosby has requested to meet you when you arrive to the event. To be honest, I flipped out because at the time, this guy is my childhood hero, a guy I grew up idolizing almost like a second father. Again, this is before the recent troubles. I'm thinking, who gets to meet Cliff Huxtable? So when I land, I'm super, super nervous. I arrive early in the morning in Portland and only had a couple of hours before we're scheduled to take the stage. I'm super grimy from the overnight flight. I'm in a huge rush. When I arrived at the venue for the seminar, I was pretty desperate to get cleaned up. We never had our own green room like all the bigwigs. All we had was a little pipe and drape set up on the venue floor. So I snuck in to use one of the bathrooms to shave, mainly because I didn't want to look homeless before I met Bill Cosby. Keep in mind, this is before I knew he had sight issues. So I go into the bathroom backstage and I start to shave. My DJ was also in there as well. He cleaned himself up and then he leaves. So I'm all alone in this bathroom that we weren't really supposed to be in technically because it belonged to somebody very important. When my DJ was still in there, we actually made a joke. Wouldn't it be hilarious if this was Bill Cosby's bathroom? Then as I started shaving, I started to hear some voices outside the bathroom door. I'm getting scared because I didn't want to get in trouble, and there's no way for me to exit in a subtle way because there's only one door to the bathroom. You have to understand how tight security was at these events. They didn't play around. They had dogs that were sniffing for bombs. Secret Service was everywhere. And I'm thinking, what if it's Laura Bush? What if that's Secret Service in there and they're coming in to arrest me? But I had no choice. I had no other way out. I just finished shaving and I walked out the door like I was supposed to be there. As I did so, I see the back of somebody's head, and it was a black male head. I see one of the staff from our event with the guy, and I breathe a sigh of relief, thinking, I'm safe. I'm not going to wind up in Secret Service jail. And then I realized it was Bill Cosby. No joke. I had just used Bill Cosby's bathroom. You have to picture this. I tried nonchalantly to kind of sneak by so I could, like, slip out the door, then casually walk back in, make it seem like I wasn't just in his bathroom. And as I walk by, the seminar staffer says, oh, there's the guy you wanted to talk to. He's right there. I was caught. And I'll never forget that moment. Bill turns around, looks at me, then around the room as if I was a ghost floating around invisible. It's like he couldn't find where I was, even though I was standing right in front of him. All of a sudden, it became clear to me. He's visually impaired. He's basically blind. My first reaction was relief. I mean, he couldn't have actually seen me coming out of the bathroom because, you know, like, he's blind. He reached out his hand and I shook it. Then he says, you're the Christian rapper guy, aren't you? I sit down and I say, yes, sir, it's an honor to meet you. The next thing he did totally blew me away. He immediately launches into a whole speech about how I needed to have my own TV show, that it needed to be on the WB. No joke. He literally had a very specific plan for my life and my career. It's like he spent time pondering it and just been waiting and itching to tell me this. Of course, I'm thinking, like, no way my manager is just going to call the WB network and get me a TV show. It's not going to happen. It won't happen in a million years. But I'm just sitting there listening to him lay out my life's plan like it's a foregone conclusion and I'm going to be a very big TV star. And I couldn't say anything. I mean, this is Bill Cosby. I couldn't just respond like, no, sorry, sir. Like, thanks for the info, but it's not going to happen. I mean, the whole conversation was over in literally just a matter of moments. Once he had finished his speech about my future in television, he put out his hand as an obvious signal that it was, like, time for me to leave. It was very surreal. I couldn't even catch up with all the thoughts racing through my head on so many levels. I mean, the whole thing was incredibly awkward, and the vibe he sent was just like, well, it's time for you to exit the room immediately. Like, that was thick in the air. He was basically saying, you may leave my room now, son, without saying a word. I mean, I'm Theo Huxtable in that moment. I had just gotten grounded and asked to go to my room. Do you understand how I felt? So I stood up, and he put out his hand, and then he said, never forget, it's a music, and then he just stopped. He didn't say anything. It was like he wanted me to finish the sentence. And after a couple moments of shock and awe, I just kind of responded like, business? And he said, don't ever forget that. And then I just walked out, and I found my DJ right there, and I said, I just had the weirdest five-minute conversation with Cliff Huxtable. It's so strange, I can't even put it into words. And then after that, I started having all these subsequent Bill Cosby interactions and strange sightings. And for example, he runs into Jamie Grace, who is a CCM artist that I knew in an airport. He went straight up to her and just started talking to her while she was playing her guitar. She told him she was a Christian singer, and I had told Jamie the previous story already, and just mentioned that, you know, this whole thing had gone down. And so she had said to him, oh, I know KJ. Bill responded by just talking about me like he knew me. What an entire conversation about me, Jamie and Bill Cosby. I should also mention that shortly after my first interaction with him, I write this song called Due to Bill Cosby. It was kind of inspired by the event. Then I end up running into him again. This is after just coming out of the bathroom again. No joke, I can't make this up. My hands were so wet from washing my hands, and he's standing there, and I shook his hand. Then he said, what is it with you in bathrooms? And a bunch of people were standing around when he said this, and they all died laughing. I said, I have no answer, sir. He said, well, I hope that's water on you. I told him about the song I wrote called Due to Bill Cosby, and at the moment it was like I was living some kind of bizarre fantasy that wasn't even my real life. Now flash forward years later, Bill's in trouble. I got people texting me left and right. Some people are saying, Due to Bill Cosby has a whole different meaning now, doesn't it? Of course, as soon as I heard, you know, the first mention of that controversy, I took the song out of my set. I stopped selling shirts with Bill Cosby merch on it, and I had to distance myself completely from the whole thing. The lesson? Well, at the end of the day, people are just people. They're partly good and they're partly bad. I mean, to be more specific, Scripture says that we're all fallen. Reality is the statement, never meet your heroes, kind of an accurate thought in hindsight. My takeaway was this, whatever your opinion is on the guy, I just found it very interesting that our faith is shown right through without us ever really ever having to open our mouth or even say any type of a message. You know what I'm saying? The lesson is you can be a light in the darkness sometimes by not even trying to shine your light overtly or intentionally. Because the light is in you, it shines naturally. Because the world is such a dark place. And again, you'll never know who you'll cross paths with because of that.